Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from Luke chapter 2, verse 21. I will not reread it, although I probably could do several times today. Dear friends in Christ, last night, my sermon, I started talking about the problem with time. Now, it's interesting when we get into Luke's first two chapters, Luke is trying to keep his readers connected to time. Just look, if you want to, pull out one of the Pew Bibles and go to the Gospel of Luke. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, when his, that is Zechariah, time of service was completed, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. From now on, all generations will call, that is Mary, blessed. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby. And then, as we celebrated at Christmas, in those days, Caesar Augustus. Luke is making a big point in his gospel. He is showing us that God came into real time, into real history. The scriptures aren't a once upon a time account for us. Luke is giving us an historical account. And so today, the eighth day after Christmas, after the birth of our Lord was celebrated, he is named and circumcised. And you don't circumcise spirits, and you don't circumcise myths. It was intended for male children of Israel. Jesus being circumcised continues showing us that he came to fulfill the law for us, not to abolish it. This he is undergoing on our behalf. Circumcision, you see, is the only mark permitted in a free Jew's skin. Their flesh, no tattoos, no piercings. Any other marks were signs of bondage and slavery. God commanded circumcision, we read in Genesis 17, for the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. Leviticus 12, on the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. This is a sign of the covenant between God and his chosen people. The ritual of waiting to name the child on the eighth day, well, that gets added by the people, not by God. It becomes, well, one of those things that gets done. We do that all the time in the church, don't we? Add things that aren't necessarily necessary. And so on the eighth day, Joseph takes baby Jesus to the temple as the law required. And Joseph shows that he will be faithful to God's command by naming the virgin-born son Jesus. Well, really not Jesus, right? He named him Yeshua, or you might say Joshua, if that makes you feel better. Jesus is the English form of the Greek Jesus. That's why we call Jesus Jesus, not because it was really his name, which is kind of weird, but it is what it is. The eighth day was a sign of eternity for the Old Testament church and also a sign of the new creation for the New Testament church, a sign of the resurrection. And so Jesus first shed his blood on the eighth day, not on the seventh day, not the Sabbath day, not at his bar mitzvah when he was 12, nor at the rabbinical speaking age of 30. It's 8 days old. And there's a reason for this. God commanded the eighth day with the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to all the families on the earth because he's the one who does the choosing, not us. Jesus' circumcision fulfills for all the old covenant. And we know that the new covenant is established with a different type of circumcision, one not made with human hands. As Paul tells us, one that requires only the blood of Jesus and not ours. This is the sacrament of baptism. And we baptize children and adults, and we restrict it to no gender. This is where we end up in a little bit of an argument with our rationalistic friends. Our rationalistic Christian friends will try to say that baptism really isn't that important. It's only a symbol of one's faith. Therefore, you should confess it and then get baptized. Well, indeed, to a point, they are right. Faith can come by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. But we are commanded to baptize all nations. And 8-day-old babies and 1-day-old babies and 50-year-old people are part of all nations. And since baptism takes the place of circumcision, and you didn't ask to be circumcised unless you were an adult convert, and also a little crazy, but that's another issue. Baptism is a mark of God choosing you, not the other way around. And therefore, from the formula of Concord, we Lutherans reject the teaching that that regards children as innocent before the application of the word and baptism. This is why Paul writes so bluntly to the church at Colossae. In him also you were circumcised, that is Jesus, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. God commanded the observance of the 8th day. And Mary and Joseph are devout in their faith. They adhered to God's word. And yet, isn't it amazing at how this 8-day-old baby is able to fulfill the law for you and me? The lawgiver subjects himself to the law that we might receive the full rights as sons. You see, Jesus, being circumcised, joins him to us and sheds his blood for us. And then the name. This is one of these oddities with the name. The name Jesus itself is a confession of what Jesus does. It explains why he was born. It means Yahweh saves, God saves. He was born Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, Jesus, all mean the same. God saves. This is what Jesus, the Lamb of God, does. He comes to save his people. He comes to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the true Israelite, the perfect Jew, who alone kept the law perfectly in our stead and on our behalf. He is the God-man, Son of the Covenant, the only one who could have passed through the animals that God had Abraham split in half and made his one-sided covenant with when he put Abraham to sleep. This circumcision continues our Lord's humiliation as well. As the Word that was in the beginning became flesh to dwell among his people, willingly subjected himself to not only the law, but the cutting of his flesh, the shedding of his precious blood. And this bleeding points to a different bleeding, a day when he will be hanging on a Roman cross with his arms outstretched for the entire world, and there his blood will be poured out from his side with water to show us that indeed he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and also draw us to his gifts. The water representing baptism, reminding us of his gift, and the blood, his covenant in his cup, the Lord's Supper. These are given for us, for the certainty of our salvation, for the joining us to Jesus' death and resurrection, for the joining of our flesh to his flesh, so that we may stand before God as God's children, because we have been adopted by the Son. We have been joined to him. This 8-day-old infant is the only way to save us, to save his people from their sins. This Jesus, the Lamb of God, he must be sacrificed. For there is only one whose blood can atone for our sins, the very Son of God, whose name, it means Yahweh saves, does just that and saves. There is only one who could and does and he sheds his blood for all the sins of all the world. And on the third day, because sin had no claim over him, he rises again and raises all who are joined with him with him. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is here, a little baby, and yet our mighty Savior, all at the same time. So we talk about an uncomfortable topic today, circumcision. But it was a mark of the relationship that God had with his people, the people of Israel, that he would be their God and they would be his people. Jesus, the Son of God, came to fulfill what it means to be a child of God by his perfect life, being ever faithful to the Father's will, even if that meant his death. We enter this new covenant and become God's people through our union with Jesus Christ, through his gifts. We call them the means of grace, the vehicles in which he bestows God's grace to us. The Word of God and the sacraments. In his circumcision, our hearts are now circumcised through water and word. In baptism, we are all joined to Jesus' death and resurrection. In his death, we die. In his life, we live. And at his table, our Lord Jesus pours out his lifeblood for us. His very body and blood are given as the food of forgiveness for our life and our salvation. So as we begin the year of our Lord 2020, I hope we have the perfect vision of faith. I know I've made that weird joke so much. We most likely have mixed emotions. It happens every year if we take stock in our life. We have hope, we have anxiety. As our minds are filled with so many questions, will my health hold out? Will my retirement fund hold out? Will our politicians ever get along and do what's best for our country instead of what's best for their parties? Will I still have a job? Will there be another terrorist attack in the States? Or will we just keep killing ourselves in churches and schools and movie theaters and streets and homes and abortion clinics? So many questions, so much anxiety. And I can't answer any of those questions with any degree of certainty, but I can point you to Jesus, who alone brings his peace in our sin-caused chaos. When the world, our flesh, and the devil have us on the ropes, think of this one single sentence. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. For here is baby Jesus, humbling himself, allowing his blood to be shed to fulfill the law of God for you. So with hope, we can face all the challenges and opportunities that we might have coming during the year of our Lord 2020, should his return continue to be delayed. In Jesus, we have a peace that passes all human understanding. For Jesus, you see, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never forget, in this 8-day-old babe named Jesus is all that we need, no matter what this year offers. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, we live in Jesus now, and then one day, when we die, or our Lord returns to take us to be with him, we shall have nothing to fear, for we shall live with him and in him for all eternity. In Jesus' precious name, Happy New Year. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.